welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. I hope you had a good night's sleep last night. And if not, you should pay attention to the poem this week. We're going to talk about obstructive sleep apnea. This is a chronic condition, often requires lifelong care, has some pretty significant downsides. That is, obstructive sleep apnea does. Daytime sleepiness, including fatigue and poor concentration, disturbed sleep at night, things like snoring, which may affect your partner, restlessness, and the like. It is an important disorder because patients are at an increased risk for poor neurocognitive performance, and that can result in occupational and perhaps things like driving injuries. I was very surprised in doing some background reading on this that obstructive sleep apnea is the most common sleep-related disorder. That didn't surprise me. But the prevalence in North America is reported by the CDC to be somewhere between 20 and 30% in males and 10 to 15% in females. Now, admittedly, that's using a pretty broad definition, but still, that means that we're seeing an awful lot of this in primary care. Some of it is probably not even recognized. We don't ask about it. It's also important to recognize that obstructive sleep apnea varies by race, it varies by ethnicity, it varies by age. For example, it's more common in African Americans who are younger than 35 compared to others. Other risk factors include advancing age, males, as I've mentioned, obesity, and not surprisingly, sort of craniofacial or upper airway anatomic abnormalities will often cause obstructive sleep apnea as well. Other medical conditions can contribute or cause obstructive sleep apnea, things like pregnancy, congestive heart failure, chronic lung disease, certain types and locations of strokes or transischemic attacks, even hypothyroidism, and vascular disease. The goal of treatment with obstructive sleep apnea is basically to reduce or eliminate these periods of apnea and in so doing, reduce oxyhemoglobin desaturation, with the idea that that's going to improve both quality of life and perhaps quantity of life, which brings us to your poem this month. You found a poem that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2016. It starts on page 919, and it asks the clinical question, does the use of continuous positive airway pressure reduce the likelihood of cardiovascular events? Mark, what did the study find?
Yeah, we've wondered about this for a long time, and we've actually been waiting for the results of this study, which has been underway for the past 6 or 7 years. And, folks with moderate to severe sleep apnea have a lot of episodes of hypoxia. Makes sense that that might trigger a cardiovascular event. Observational studies have provided some support, but it's never been tested in a clinical trial. So this was a study mostly done in Australia and China. They recruited about 2,700 high-risk patients, aged 45 to 75 years. They all had known coronary or cerebrovascular disease. And they all had moderate to severe sleep apnea, which was defined as at least 12 drops per hour in the O2 sat of at least 4%. Anyone who had severe daytime sleepiness or very severe hypoxemia or Chain-Stokes respirations was excluded because those patients were felt to definitely require the CPAP. So patients knew they were using CPAP, but the outcome assessors were masked to the treatment assignment, which is good. This is a well-designed trial. I think it was a reasonably typical group of patients with this condition. The average age was 61 years. It was a majority men, but lots of women were in the study as well, and the average BMI was 29. They were randomized to either use CPAP or continue usual care, so a pretty simple intervention. At the end of an average of about 4 years of follow-up, there wasn't any difference between groups in a composite outcome that consisted of a whole bunch of things, cardiovascular death, MI, stroke, acute coronary syndrome, hospitalization for heart failure, or TIA. If you threw all those things together, 17% in the CPAP group and 15.4% in the usual care group had one of those outcomes. So actually a bit higher, non-significantly, in the CPAP group. No significant difference in any of the individual outcomes in that composite. The CPAP group did benefit in terms of less sleepiness. There's the Epworth sleepiness scale, which is 24 points. And they had about a 2.5 point gain in their sleepiness improvement, which is probably somewhat clinically significant. So the bottom line is, compared with usual care, not using CPAP, adding CPAP to these folks who are at high risk for cardiovascular events, who have moderate to severe sleep apnea, improves their daytime sleepiness somewhat, but doesn't reduce the risk of cardiovascular events.
So basically, the bottom line is that you get some significant, at least statistical and probably clinical improvement in quality of life, but in terms of actual length of life from cardiovascular events, probably no difference.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't look at all-cause mortality, obviously, and you wouldn't be able to detect a difference in a study this size, but at least cardiovascular events and a pretty broad composite outcome did not see any indication of benefit at all. You know, the trend was in the wrong direction, if anything, so certainly no indication. And so I think it tells us why we're doing this. You know, why are we treating sleep apnea? It's because patients are unhappy because they're tired during the day. They might be at risk for accidents. We actually don't have definitive data on that either. I think that may be a separate analysis of this study would be looking at accidents. If I remember correctly, I think they're going to report that separately. So that may still be an important benefit, but not cardiovascular events.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Look forward to it.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.